And it's Red Leaf RetroCast. It is spooky month, therefore we're doing spooky games. Joey, it was your theme pick in both games, totally yes. By you.
Yep, 100%.
So what is this What is this theme and topic you've chosen?
JD made me choose horror.
Ah, love it.
That's great. That's my theme. And I totally picked both of these games 100% on my own. And JD didn't pick them. And I'm not agreeing with him because he keeps me locked in his basement and I only get to come out for this podcast.
Mm. Yeah, you get to be in the nice boiler room. It's great. It's nice and heated during the winter sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. You know, it's very old. 1920s, 30s. You know, comes across like a monster in a basement. That's definitely not you screaming, though. Okay. So here we are. Horror, spooky month. Got two games. Let's get going quickly. What have you been playing, Colin?
Mostly more Spider-Man on PS4.
Ooh, the first one, right? Not the new one. That's no wait. That's coming out.
Yeah, the first one.
Yesterday? Did it come out 2 days ago?
Came out Friday.
Friday. I imagine the reviews are stellar. Let's look at this.
Yes, it's a very good game.
Okay, Metacritic Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Spider-Man DOS PS5. Let's see what you got. So how are you liking the first Spider-Man?
Well, I'm very close to the end. I'm halfway through the last third of the City That Never Sleeps DLC.
All right.
And I'm still really enjoying it.
So this new one has universal critical acclaim of a 91 out of 100 and user scores 8.4.
Awesome.
So it seems to be a critical success and everyone loves it except haters.
But I'm still going to wait until the Game of the Year edition comes out. Mm.
Ah, here's a 4 out of 10. Here we go. Muy bien juego. Buen demento historia, pero la nota es para hacer un amado a las desarrolladoras ano implementar ideologías
politics.
It's politics. Oh, love it. You saw the same one?
Yeah.
Totally agree. Now I'm never getting the game.
God, I could not agree more with that. Amazing. And I'm sure everyone understood my perfect accent I was throwing on there.
I like the 4 that's underneath it. Control C.
Yes, that's the best review.
They've changed a lot. I mean, I see the 1-4-7 main quests are for Peter and Dun Bailey for Miles. I don't know. Yeah, the main story might be Peter, but you can play as much as you want as Miles for everything else.
Mm. Spider-Man 1.5, still good, but just Spider-Man DLC. Nothing you haven't played already. Well, I mean, it's a sequel. The main critique we'll have to thing is it enough to warrant a sequel? But, I mean, shit, these games are so good these days. If it's just as good as the first one with a slight upgrade, then isn't that just what people want?
Honestly, I think this is. I've been playing it. I'm enjoying it.
You have been playing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, I like that you can switch between two. I like how the suits are. There's variants for each suit. I like how the skills are because you have three skill trees, one that's shared between the Spider-Man and then one for each. So, but the one for each are more for specials than the main ones for everything else. There's a lot of extra side stories, which I finished up a few of them. I mean, Miles has his own little four quest arc with his school. So, yeah, Peter, of course, is going to be the main thing. He's the main Spider-Man, so right. I don't see an issue with it. But I'm only like 3 or 4 main stories in, but I've done a lot of extra stuff.
Okay.
But it's nice. They added gliding, and then you can catch like these air drifts throughout the city, so that's better. And then fast travel isn't just to one location. Once you unlock it, you can pick any spot in that unlocked area to fast travel to.
Oh, wow.
So that's so much better than just jumping from police station to police station. So I think they made a lot of things that made quality of life of this game so much better. And it's continuing the story. So I think it's
done
enough.
You can only do that with the technology of the current consoles. Because it's like real time travel, isn't it?
Yeah, when you get into it, you're in your glider and then you're just right off moving. So you're not like cutscene into standing on a building. You're right into moving the next location.
Yeah, that's an incredible leap in technology. if I've ever seen one. I mean, we're going to talk about a game on this spooky podcast here where load times were incredible. Like next level long is just, let me check my watch, go grab a beer. But yeah, it's you're just into it. Yeah, I've seen a lot of mostly just pros to Spooderman 2. So Colin, I'm sure you're going to be getting that sequel immediately upon your completion of the first one.
I did run into a bug, which was pretty funny. So one of the missions that I had to follow someone talking, and they got stuck in the elevator, just staring at the wall. And every time I leave, they yell at me to come back, and I just stand there, and they don't do anything.
Ah, can't all be winners. So what else you got, Colin?
I played about an hour of Luigi's Mansion 3.
Oh, I love that game. Very fun.
Yeah. So far, so good. Feels a lot like Dark Moon.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to, I think they're remaking and re-releasing Dark Moon, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll probably get that one.
Yeah, it's straight up Luigi's Mansion 2 this time.
Yeah. Good.
And been playing more of The Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm close to the end game on that one. I just have to go through all the different levels I've been in to find musical notes for a special spell to break the curse. But I've mostly just been looking for the green power seals for that secret power-up that's been dangling in front of my eyes this whole time. At the shop. And, aside from that, I haven't really been playing anything, although yesterday I did buy my copy of Sonic Superstars.
Oh, did that just come out too?
Yep.
Oh my god, so many things coming out.
On the 17th.
I knew I saw posters for it. I thought it came out next month.
No.
Okay, so it's got a 75 out of 100 on the old Metacritic here. 8.9 user score, so better than Spider-Man, obviously. Well, how is it? How is Sonic Superstars?
I just said I only bought it. I haven't played it yet. I haven't even taken the packaging off.
Man.
I'm a busy man. I had to watch Halloween last night.
Let's see.
The first Halloween.
Most reviews are on PS5 now. There's only a few on Nintendo Switch, so it doesn't seem to be super popular.
That's weird. I bought the Switch version, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's got local multiplayer with 4 players? Wow.
Yeah, that was the thing that really caught my eye. I know that me and my nephews will have a lot of fun with that.
Ah, the Jimquisition has reviewed it.
And?
First decent mainline Sonic game since Sonic Forces, an objectively okay game as rated by civilized minds. A distilled descendant of the original lineage, Sonic Team's rare display of restraint has resulted in a game that succeeds through the purity of its simplicity. There you go.
Neat.
Okay, so it seems like a decent little Sonic game.
Yeah, like Sonic Mania.
Yeah, and that one I enjoyed tremendously. So I think I'll probably wait for this to go on sale a little bit later because I'm bogged down in games currently, which I'll get into in a little bit. But yeah, if it's a decent Sonic game, I'm in. I'm definitely into those games lately, like Pikmin I went nuts on. I guess that'd be it. Well, Zelda. I've gone through 3 of the 4 like kingdom boss battles, so I've made decent progress with Tears of the Kingdom.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So Sonic. What else? That about it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. So golf season's winding down for me. So that means bowling season in full effect officially, and then doing house maintenance stuff. So everyone loves lawn care. I hate it. So therefore, doing enough work, but everything's been taken out around my house quite tremendously, including 2 massive trees just got done cutting down earlier this morning. Ooh. Taking a break now for this podcast recording. So that's why we're doing this a little later, in case you were curious. Post the picture of the two trees in the chat there. But anyways, enough about that. I have beat Lies of P.
Oh, nice.
I beat my first official Dark Souls game, all on my lonesome.
So what were the Lies of P?
So it's just about like being asked questions. There's three types of endings you can get. I, in fact, got the ultimate lie. So I was going into New Game Plus a little bit with the it's essentially you rip his nose out and it's like a tree branch that you get as a weapon. It's kind of goofy. But I went for the full lie one. I did not give Geppetto my heart. I went, fuck you, dad, and beat up his asshole of a final boss, which took about 4 hours for me to beat.
Jeez.
Plus my, oh yeah, it was really hard for me. It essentially made me play a completely different play style, and I did everything minus like completely rebuilding my character. I just kind of leveled up a couple other weapons, and then changed into not a tank, but I got really good at blocking and parrying. But the more comical aspect of me finishing this game was two of the final three bosses I beat with a last-ditch effort of throwing a shot put ball at him. You can watch those videos online, searching my Twitter, at BowlingJD, and then, you know, hashtag LizaP, and you'll see some videos. It's quite hysterical, where I'm clearly, like, moments from death. It's just... bah! Throw it at him and he's dead. So that was fun. I thought it was a tremendous game. It's currently my game of the year. I've had the most fun with it. Is it objectively maybe the best game? I don't think so, but it is for me. And I think that's what matters. It'll probably change when I get further into some of the other games that have come out this year. I got my list. And I think I'll be definitely doing a game of the year podcast this year, which will be fun to do. In other news, I did get Super Mario Wonder that just came out Friday.
Nice.
My mom's visiting and actually was playing with her, and it's kind of fun. We were just drinking wine, getting drunk, playing Mario. she's dying left and right. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? No, B is jump. What's B? Ah! A lot of musical themes for Super Mario Wonder, which is nice. Yeah. It gives it a little pep in its step, gameplay wise. Difficulty,
cool.
Not really finding it difficult so far. I'm two worlds in. There are some interesting elements new to the game. I think the main one everyone will kind of talk about first is the elephant power up. I'm not really feeling the elephant power up. Maybe I'm missing a key aspect to utilizing it, but don't really enjoy the elephant too much. The whole,
maybe it was the most marketable image,
I guess, of animal.
Yeah,
animal type themes with Mario. And when it comes to, I mean, the platforming is cool. They have things called badges now, and they're like unique little power-ups that you can use. One is you have a slow descent using a hat, like a parachute. Another is an ability to not double jump, but you can wall jump straight up, which is really fun. So as I go through the game and unlock more badges, I think that'll really be an intriguing element to the 2D platformer, because this is a 2D platform Mario. What else is about? Oh, I mean, the whole motif of the game is like a flower world. So there's a lot of flower elements to there. In a lot of these levels, like one, some talk to you and they have a little comic humor to it. So very good game. Not played enough into it yet to give it like a full review or anything, but the impression is good initially. So that's where I'm at there. And then the two podcast games. So Liza P, Super Mario Wonder, a little bit of Zelda. That's kind of where I stand currently. I have Final Fantasy 16 reinstalled on my PS5, so probably get to that someday. I got to, if I'm going to do a Game of the Year podcast at the end. So there.
Okay.
Yeah. Joey. So besides, yes, Spider-Man 2, what you got?
I played Remnant 2.
A what now?
Remnant 2.
Remnant 2. Okay.
Yeah. So been getting along with that one, playing with my brother-in-law, trying to beat that. We actually are on the, I think, final world, and we're getting our ass kicked. So we'll probably have to go back and grind and level up our weapons a little more before we continue forward.
Okay. All right. Shall we get into the two games for the podcast?
Sure.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, nice little 15 minutes in. That's like, what, half of what we normally go? So here we go. Joey, introduce us in. Theme and why you chose it.
Theme, JD made me choose horror. I chose it because JD made me choose horror. So.
I agree. It's the best reason.
It is a reason, yes. So the two games I totally knew beforehand, and I can totally pick them out myself.
Yes. Both games are either not released in the US or extremely expensive, so you have to use an emulator.
Yeah, I think for the first game, I think the dubbing was a little messed up. Sometimes the last word was said twice.
yeah, kinda.
So we'll just jump right into it with Gregory Horror Show. Or known in Japan as Gregory Horror Show Soul Collector.
Yes.
Because they needed to add Soul Collector. This was developed by Capcom Production Studio 3. Got to make sure you put the spec on Studio 3. Published by Capcom.
Very successful studio, obviously.
And it was released 2003, and then Europe later, 2003. You are a weird boy, man, thing, and you're in a hotel.
And your Roblox characters.
You got to steal some souls, or they're going to steal your soul or something.
I believe it's like you died and you make a deal with the Reaper of some who's, I guess, from Sweden. And
yeah,
Swedish Reaper. And he goes, give me, I think it was 8 souls or something, 12 souls, and you will be saved.
12 souls.
12?
12 souls.
Okay, 12 souls.
Yeah, and then you talk to a zombie cat and he tells you how to steal souls and whatnot, and it's a game of trying to learn patterns and figure out how to steal souls.
Yeah, it's kind of like a puzzle game.
Yeah, and a lot of interesting characters,
very unique. It's Minecraft looking characters before Minecraft.
I was getting a vibe of many different things at once. There's like Tales of the Crypt, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and even Sexy Brutal, if you remember that one.
I loved Sexy Brutal, and that's what this game reminded me of, with the puzzle elements of going around and a little bit of a horror aspect to it, which I quite enjoyed, actually.
Yeah.
So let's see here. So you're in what I describe as a hotel, essentially. And you walk around the hotel, like Joey said, learning patterns of all the different characters. Many are kind of stuck in rooms or stuck in some sort of warp within themselves. And your objective is to not so much trick them, but find out their weakness. And then use that weakness against them to steal their soul. And a lot of that has to do with Gregory, our main, I guess, antagonist of the game, in his hotel, house, whatever it might be, and avoid him and other wacky little elements that you can get caught and die.
Yeah, I got caught just to see what a horror show is. It wasn't that scary. I want my money back.
Yeah, you can choose between a guy and a girl character, which I thought was neat.
Yeah, I like that. Well, at least for the dub, they had a guy and girl character talking the lines until you chose, and then one of them took over.
Yeah.
So it was the two voices at once. was hoping it would stay like that because it sounded pretty cool.
Yeah. The game does have, like, a couple boss battles in it, which I thought, I was not expecting that. I thought it was just going to be a straight just puzzle game, getting the souls, and then you're just kind of, you escape. But escape from your reality. That's the whole thing going on in this game. Kind of fun.
I did not make it to any bosses. I only collected the weird nurse hippopotamus.
I think it's a lizard.
Hippo lizard.
With that giant syringe, I collect her soul, and then I got caught on her after you're trying to collect the weird robot thing.
Sure.
Judgment boy. Yeah, that was fucking weird.
Well, the game itself is really weird.
Yeah,
but gameplay is very simplistic, and I kind of like this. This was very relaxing to play, believe it or not, because there's not a whole lot to it, but just enough where it's like, I can go get the next one, or ooh, what's over here? Ooh, it's a lot of just observing, and then you go around your observations and kind of put pieces together to get to the next area.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Shenmue with the whole mechanic of time passing and working around other schedules.
Well, I mean, yeah, Sexy Brutal was very much in that same reign as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of does a nod to Resident Evil with the herbs that you can collect.
Oh, yes.
They look almost exactly like they do in Resident Evil.
Very much on purpose. I was reading something that the layout of the hotel house was that of the Resident Evil mansion. So if you played that game before, you can pretty much work your way around this place immediately. It just didn't have tank controls. Not really, anyways. Was it enough to engage you, though? That was my main question when playing this.
Yeah. I'm actually this one.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Colin, what about you? Was it enough?
Well, I only had a chance to like watch YouTube video of it.
Were you engaged watching?
Watched about half an hour, and yeah, okay. It seemed like kind of a fun thing to try. I mean, just like looking on the map, looking where everybody is, and then trying to strategize around it. That was an interesting mechanic. So yeah, I'd say it was enough.
All right.
The worst character was the little shit mouse.
Oh, yeah. I hated that. Yeah, for sure.
He's an annoying little asshole.
It's kind of the point, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I pass. Gregory Horror Picture Show.
I pass it as well.
Yeah, I'll pass it.
All right. We all weirdly enjoyed it. Let's see. It's about a $70 game. If you if you live in Europe or Japan, both the same ones, the game lasts about 8 hours, so you could definitely beat this. I played at least half of it. Yeah, because I was just busting through the story, so I was probably a little more than half.
Yeah, the Let's Play I watched was only like 3 hours, so if you know what you're doing, it can be a pretty short game.
Okay. Our next game, Joey. Give it to me.
Next game, Haunting Ground. Ooh.
It's a ground that's haunted.
Developed and published by Capcom.
Yeah.
Not Studio 3.
Not Studio 3. This was Studio at least 1 or 2.
Came out in 2005.
Very retro.
I hated this game.
Oh, why?
The camera angles.
Well, I mean,
it's like they took all the worst camera angles from Resident Evil and just threw it in this game.
I mean, it had the tank controls.
Yeah. And then why does the character start out in a blanket?
Well, they were kidnapped after the car accident, obviously, and bloody clothes, wet. Yeah, gotta take these women out of their clothes, man.
And why was she peeped on when she was changing?
Because everything is very sexual in this game.
Yeah, then they zoom in on her.
And she's hot.
And there are jiggle physics.
Absolutely, there are. Very required, obviously. Look, Fiona is a very nice character. And everyone wants to bang her in some capacity. This is Clock Tower 5 with jiggle physics and a hotter character. Disagree? No?
I haven't played any Clock Towers besides one, so...
Ugh. Yeah,
I don't know what to say there.
Really know what to think of Clock Tower. I don't know if I've played any.
Never played any Clock... We might have to play Clock Tower 2 for the PS1. Might have to do that.
I guess that's
an expensive game, too. Let me look at this. So Haunting Ground is, like, the most expensive PS2 game. It runs for, like, $250 minimum.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. It's very expensive and rare, because they didn't release a whole lot of them. Let's see.
Sheesh.
Clock
Tower. Yeah, it's definitely not worth that.
2. How much is Clock Tower 2? Clock Tower 2 is also $250 on the PlayStation 1.
Not worth that either.
Yeah. Very, very common games, these horror Capcom games with hot women getting chased by creepy characters. Or you can buy the Japanese version of Clock Tower 2 for $15. So work on your Japanese, guys. I'm a fan of the Clock Tower series, and this was, like, right up my alley. It was, like, weird. It was so weird, too, because I was reading a bunch of reviews of this Haunting Ground, and the fact that so much of this is about sexualizing the character, wanting to bang her, very much a lot of elements that make a lot of people uncomfortable, and I'm like, well, it's doing its job. Definitely not for the faint of heart.
I like how the wiki has to state Fiona. An 18-year-old woman.
Yes. 18-year-old woman. Absolutely.
She is of age.
Not a minute younger.
So it's okay.
It is okay. She is 18 years old and 1 minute. Therefore, a woman. Yes. The game's voyeuristic nature and the sexual objectification of Fiona were highlighted by critics as some of the game's best elements. There you go. So, obviously, critics really liked the risque nature of the game and why and who and how, but it's you, the player, that are weak. And forget you and your cancel culture nonsense of 2023. Haunting Ground is good, damn it. As I pound my fist into the table like a 75-year-old man. Damn you.
What is this? Because Fiona is both a sex object and a victim. A fragile little woman. Both male and female players can distinctly feel the threat to her person. This is weird. This is weird.
So what did you feel while playing this, Joey?
As you
emulated it like me.
Annoyed with the camera angles. That's what I felt.
Well, you know, the Clock Tower does that. Resident Evil does that. It's very Capcom. Tank controls. Yeah. Love them. Everyone loves them. No one has ever complained about them, ever.
So I didn't play much because I got out of the room. I got chased by the golem-looking giant.
I believe his name is Diabetes or something.
Well, he looks like Gollum, but Gollum got jacked. Became like one of the world's strongest men.
Yeah. I think you're talking about Diabetes.
Yeah, sure. I think.
No, it's like Diabetes, Colin. I will hear none of those.
So I hit under the bed, and then I gave up on the game.
Ah! Yeah. Immediately when I started playing this, I go, oh, there's a stamina bar. You can collect things to reduce a panic meter. I'm like, this is just fucking Clock Tower. Like, everything is Clock Tower, and you have...
Yeah.
And
I'm also getting Amnesia the Dark Descent vibes.
Yes.
Maybe that took some inspiration from this and Clock Tower.
Yeah, completely. The cutscenes were all about trying to show you whatever wacky, just absolutely insane character wants to bang Fiona, and the whole element to them were they want to be complete. They must be complete. Oh, I am not complete, they say. I need your like fetus or some shit.
like, okay, Jerry Maguire.
No, like every single enemy was kind of like that. Ooh, Fiona, you're so hot. I want to bang you and impregnate you, and that will make me complete in some way. And there's a thing I like totally missed later in the game that has to do with something in her womb, and it like will emerge and complete them. It's yeah, there's a whole thing about it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see here. See if I can find it on the wiki. I don't know. Yeah, she has to go to like a water tower. That's kind of your main objective in the game. So not a clock tower, it's a water tower. Okay? Don't mix it up.
Okay.
Yep. You're essentially just kind of running around and solving loose end puzzles, and then you end up fighting like a main enemy with very little quote unquote ammunition to do it. But I believe the other theme is, in order to be complete, it's all about like being immortal. I think that's what a lot of the enemies were kind of talking about as well. So there's that too. Of course, you got to have a dead parents or of some capacity, and then there's clonage involved, and yeah, there's a whole nonsense medical thing going on as well. So your story elements are kind of all there. Your themes all there. Oh, yeah.
I just read one of the endings.
Okay, give it to me.
Okay, so let's start with the easy one. So there's multiple endings. Uh-huh. If Diabetes survives, he encounters Fiona and Huey uh-huh. at the castle gate and lets them leave peacefully. Otherwise, he does not appear. Oh. If the game is completed at least once and Diabetes survives, you can leave early. And it frustrates Lorenzo within. So you can beat the game faster if you've already beaten it once and Diabetes survived. And then the fucked up one, if Huey's relationship with Fiona is poor, he does not rescue her at a critical junction in the game, resulting in Ricardo capturing and impregnating Fiona.
Hell yeah, so he became God. Complete. Ricardo. Who's Ricardo again? Is Ricardo her father?
No, or is it the clone of the father? One of them is a clone.
Well, there's Lorenzo's the main enemy, and then there's a clone of the father. Or are they clones of Lorenzo, and there's two of them? I don't remember.
They're clones. Ricardo and reveals he and her father, Hugo, are clones.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, I was Hugo. Mixing up in it. Yeah.
So Hugo. Her father's clone. So it's not incest. It's not. Even though he's genetically 100% the father. It's not okay. It's okay.
Yeah. There's a there was like a woman character. I think it was a maid, and she wanted to experience like maximum pleasure. And I think that was the like fertile womb enemy, if I remember. It's been like a month since I played this game. It's I think I was close to beating it. I played it like 6 hours. How long is this? Let's see here. Haunting Ground.
I think
it's a 9-hour game. So I got a few hours left, and I could totally beat this.
After I stopped playing, I turned on a Let's Play see later in the game, and I think they beat in 6 hours.
Well, I'm slow, so you know. I died a lot of running into walls because of the tank controls, and then just Diabetes comes and gets my ass. I'm like, oh, Diabetes, damn you.
Goddamn Diabetes.
I can't wait for the sequel where it's type 2.
Oh no, he's gonna make me fat.
yeah. Might as well. I get the feeling that they were trying to go for like the seven deadly sins kind of theme to it, but maybe not. Let's see. Yeah, so tank controls, it's exactly like a clock tower game, running around with no sort of weapon, very simplistic loose puzzles, and wacky cutscenes with insane characters and a lot of sexualization of the 18-year-old. You can unlock a lot of costumes and change them, so there's that, Joey. I know you're into feet and all that, so you can see that.
Do you think Diabetes can cut off feet?
I mean, it has to,
diabetes,
right?
Can, yeah, I mean, do you think there's a scene where she'll lose a foot because of diabetes?
I I think, you know what? If they don't do that, we should minus 1 point off this game for its review. Absolutely. Yeah. No. Okay. So, I was way into this game for obvious reasons. It was like Clock Tower. I love Clock Tower, and I pass it.
I fail it.
Oh, boo.
I pass it.
Yay! Me and Colin! Yeah! We like the very expensive $250 not Clock Tower game. Boy, if I could get a like a repro copy of this and throw it in my PS2 to work, I would do that. I'm gonna look into that. Off camera, of course. Off recording. So our two games.
Go for it.
We're Gregory Horshow, PS2, Capcom, Studio 3, and Haunted Ground, Capcom, Studio Not 3. Colin, okay. Favorite, least favorite?
Haunting Ground is my favorite.
Yes.
And for tiers, I'll give Haunting Ground a B and Gregory Horror Show a C.
Joey?
The exact opposite. Gregory is my favorite. I give that a B and Haunting Ground a C.
Okay. Haunting Grounds, my favorite. I'm giving Haunting Grounds a C and Gregory Horshow a C. So they both get C's. There we go.
Go figure.
Yay. Okay, that was fun. So our next podcast is the one we missed a few weeks ago. It is my theme of giant fucking robots. I swear we'll do it this time.
Oh, shit. I'm sick again.
Oh, look. I was.
Now I'm sick.
I was violently ill that time, but yeah, it'll happen. Luckily, already played those, so we can record sooner and or not, or on time. So there we go. That's our next games. Guys, it's been fun. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye now.